So in many different ways, we find traces of these events and actions of the Holy Spirit as we look back through the Old Testament. At creation, he broods or incubates over the waters. He anoints Bezalel for ministry in the building of the tabernacle and gives him wisdom to teach others. The prophetic power of the Holy Spirit is borrowed from Moses, and 70 leaders of Israel are anointed with the Spirit and they prophesy. In the times of Judges, he comes in power on many to cause them to lead the people. David got the plans for the temple straight from the Holy Spirit. Then we come to the main prophets, such as Isaiah, who speaks of the anointed servant who would come empowered in a variety of ways by the Holy Spirit. And we know this is speaking of Jesus. Isaiah also speaks prophetically that God will pour water on the thirsty land. Note on the thirsty land. And the question I want to ask this morning is, are we thirsty for the rain and the outpouring of God's Spirit? Or are we satisfied with how we are? I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. That goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Jeremiah prophesies by the Spirit about the new covenant that God is going to make one day with his people and how his laws would be put into our hearts. He does all of this. He renews, he pours out water on the dry ground, he makes a new covenant because Israel failed. You read Deuteronomy 11 and there's a warning, but they didn't heed. And so God eventually took them into captivity, but as a merciful, gracious, loving God, he says that he will renew them and revive them. And so they were judged by God. And we find in Nehemiah, when they have now gone back to the land and have rebuilt the temple and have rebuilt Jerusalem, in chapter 9 of Nehemiah, we find the record that the Spirit had instructed them in the wilderness journey. And because of their rebellion, the Spirit had warned them through the prophets, but they rejected him. And right through the Old Testament, the prophetic is characterized by being a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel speaks of many instances of the way the Holy Spirit came into him and dealt with him. And he's now speaking to us. That 11th chapter of Deuteronomy is fundamental to us, but it clearly states the penalty for failure to obey God. Later in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, which Fiona mentioned last week about choosing life rather than death, that whole chapter is about obeying God and about serving him and about being loyal to him. Choose life rather than death. But God knew they would reject him. And he promised Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which Jan read to us on the 3rd of January, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And so we see God by his Spirit is already saying, I'm willing to forgive you. I'm willing to bless you despite what you're like. I am not going to ultimately fully reject you. And I think we have to ask ourselves, how do we measure up? How do I measure up? And last year I felt God speak to me about three particular verses, and I'm going to read them this morning. They're from the Ten Commandments. We all know them. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or bow down and worship something other than me. And you shall not take my name in vain. And I just feel, really, really feel, that in the world in which we live, there are a lot of places where the world comes in as idols into our life. And I am absolutely convinced that media and television is one of the biggest drains on our spiritual life that it's possible to put into us. And I would just say, don't throw the television out. I'm not suggesting that for 1 minute. Ask God, what should I watch? When should I watch? And how long should I watch? You shall not take my name in vain. Israel is hardly out of Egypt before they run into health issues. And God says, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer. This morning, as one of the young ladies was standing here doing this, God said, I am the Lord, your banner. I'm the Lord, your miracle. I am Jehovah Rapha. Nissi, sorry. Jehovah Nissi. He says that to us this morning. His banner over us is love. He's waving his banner. He's saying, come to me. I am your miracle. And I believe that we in the church, we're trapped in Babylon with medicine. And we need to come to God and say, you are my healer. I want to not take your name in vain. I want to trust you. I want to see the miracles in my life. And I want to see that here. For years I was in a church where we regularly saw healing, even miracles. I know it can happen. I've seen it happen. It's not for then, it's for now. And they just said to God, stuff it. We'll go our own way. What did Jeremiah say? Jeremiah 7:30, for the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set their detestable idols in the house that is called by my name to defile it. They have built the high places of Topheth, which is the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no more be called Topheth or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth because there's no room elsewhere. And the dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. And none will frighten them away. And I will silence in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. For the land shall become desolate. At that time, declares the Lord, the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of its officials, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be brought out of their tombs, and they shall be spread before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven, which they've loved and served, which they've gone after, which they've sought and worshipped. And they shall not be gathered or buried. And that was a terrible desecration in Israel. They shall be as dung on the surface of the ground. Death shall be preferred to life by all the remnant. Death shall be preferred rather than life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, choose life, not death. Here, they'll choose death. They want death. They just want to get out of it. How terrible. This is God's people. Death shall be preferred to life by all the remnant that remains of this evil family in all the places where I have driven them, declares the Lord. But, Jeremiah said, I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to put all that aside by my spirit. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to lead you into a new situation. I need my Bible again. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. Ezekiel 36, some of you will know this already before I even say anything. 36:25. I, will take you from the nations, verse 24, and gather you and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And it goes on. Deuteronomy promised that was the inheritance for those who served God, had faith in him and obeyed him. Here in Ezekiel says, God is a God of promise. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't forgotten. He's going to bring you back. There is revival. There is revival. It's possible. And I want to see it. Now then, a certain lady in this church said, when you get to know Ian May, he's actually quite funny. Is that right? Now you're going to find out I'm quite daft as well. Okay. Would you please turn with me to Ezekiel 37? Ezekiel 37. Now, I've run this past the house group, and we are in agreement that God is speaking from this passage today in Ezekiel 37. God spoke to me about it in May in Germany last year and said, I want you to speak this passage, pray this passage over SKCC. And I've been doing that now for 6 or 8 months. And then Phil said last week, would you come and pray? And at that moment, I knew that something had happened. It was suggested I should bring my lovely full bone skeleton, but I decided for various reasons not to. But I have a beautiful female full bone, not a beautiful female. I have a beautiful skeleton which is female. So this has cost me an arm and a leg. Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Now, I didn't have this last Sunday.
Excuse me, what number?
Sorry. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. So, today's preach started last Sunday at the end of last Sunday. The hand of the Lord. Oh, thank you. Don't put it on Facebook.
The hand is great. We're going to remember this,
Ian. This is why Yvonne's. Where's Yvonne? Yvonne said you have to do a visual aid, didn't you, Yvonne? Or was it Lisa that said it first? Oh, so it's Lisa's fault. Right, but blame Lisa then. So, the hand of the Lord was upon me, he said. And then, he said, he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. And Ezekiel was lifted up in the spirit. Thank you, Neil. He was lifted up in the spirit. Ezekiel had a number of occurrences by the Spirit. The reason I have this is because Ezekiel said that the hand of the Lord lifted him up by a lock of his hair. That's my excuse anyway. So that was Ezekiel's experience. And he set me down in the middle of a valley. Down in the middle of a valley. Now, this has been my favourite chapter since I was 13 years of age. If I have to go to a desert island with only one scripture, it will be this scripture. I have lived, read, breathed this scripture for 60 years. And I'm still believing God for revival.
And I want to see revival. And I won't give up. And I have a passion for it. He set me down in the middle of a valley. And if you read all the commentators, they say it's somewhere around the Euphrates near Babylon. I believe the valley that Ezekiel went into was the valley I read from Jeremiah. Because we know in Ezekiel 8 that the hand of the Lord, in a vision, took Jeremiah back to Jerusalem and showed him the terrible things that were going on. Ezekiel had been taken into captivity with 10,000 others. And then 10 years or 11 years later, I think it was, Jerusalem was destroyed. And during that time, God took Ezekiel in a vision back. And I believe that Ezekiel was shown that valley that Jeremiah talks about. You see, why should God do that? He was a priest. He was separate from other people. And I believe that God wanted to touch Ezekiel's heart and say to Ezekiel, you go and stand where I stand. You go and see the death and destruction. You go and see what sin has done. Go and look at this valley where all these dead bodies and all this human excrement and waste. That's what has happened to my people. And I want to touch your heart and your spirit. And I want to get you to the point to see what I see. Because I'm going to change it. And he took Ezekiel and he took him to the Valley of Dry Bones. And there were, that's a hand bone and an arm bone. And he saw the leg bones connected to the thigh bone, says the word of the Lord. Another hand bone, another arm bone. And I couldn't get all this lot apart very easily and hold it. So this is the rest of the bones. A pelvis, a rib cage, two shoulders, and a head and neck. And Ezekiel saw all this lot. And he was a priest, and the last thing he did as a priest was go around dead bodies. So he must have been wondering what God was on about. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" "Only you know, O Lord," I replied. "Can these bones live?" Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you and live." It goes now from "can it happen" to "it will happen." It's not "now can it," but "when is it going to?" Lord, when is it going to? "I will cause breath to enter them." In the Hebrew, the word ruach means breath, wind, or spirit, all three which appear in this chapter, 37. Before I moved into my bungalow, God said, when you go to that bungalow, you name it Beit Ruach, the house of the spirit, because I am going to teach you about the spirit. This is going to be my house, not your house. And I'm going to do something. And I have a purpose, so you call it the house of the spirit. Because I live in Hawkins, where it is, it's also the house of the wind, I can tell you. "I will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as commanded. He spoke the word. And as I was prophesying, there was a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, bones come to bone. Miracle. There were sinews on them, flesh had come on them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Oh dear. Oh dear. They were corpses. As far as the eye could see, they were dead bodies covered in skin with sightless eyes, and the crows and the vultures already gathering to come down to devour. Already in the noonday sun, perhaps, they were starting to rot very quickly. And Ezekiel looks around and he sees all these dead bodies everywhere. There was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. He invoked the Spirit. Prophesy, Son of Man, say to the breath, come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived. To the wind, the east, because they always looked east first, then the south, then the north, then the west. Come on, breath, come on, come on. And they stood up. I told you, didn't I? A mighty army. Notice they were a mighty army. And so he had to pull his priestly hat down over his head, hang on to it while the mighty torrent of God's wind came and blew. Hallelujah. Is that it? Not quite. Then he said to me, son of, how are we doing? 7 minutes. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. How often have I felt that? And it's all a waste of time. I want to walk away from it. God says, no, you don't. I've got my dog's lead around your neck. You stay here. Prophesy to them. Say, I will open your graves. Raise you from your graves, O my people. I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And I think it's 57 times that the book of Ezekiel says, you will know that I am the Lord. Which takes us back to the 3rd of January when I read that scripture where God says the nations will know that I am the Lord when I show my glory through you. And I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land and you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. What was the last scripture on that Sunday? What was the last scripture on that Sunday morning that was given prophetically? Where's Les? What was it, Les?
I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Thank you. Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Oil. Of Joel, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. How wonderful. And you young men, you shall see visions. Maybe some of you do. Even on your male and female servants in those days, I will pour out spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, he poured out his spirit. And they were baptized in the Spirit and with fire. There were tongues of flame that settled on the head of every one of the believers. There was purification. There was burning. There was fire. That isn't what Joel said, but it's what John the Baptist said. So, you want to invite me again, will you, Deirdre? We need to understand that God is speaking to us. He's being real with us.
Have to be dealt with. There are situations he's got to change.
When Leslie brought that picture of the wall coming down, I believe God's saying, I'm going to knock some of your walls down. I'm going to knock down some of your treasured theology. I'm going to knock down some of your beloved practices and ideas. And I'm going to let light in. I'm going to let light into dark places. I'm going to uncover things. And you're going to need to repent. You're going to need to humble yourself and repent. Because through you I am going to be glorified. And I'm going to pour out my Spirit. That was the first Sunday of this year. It doesn't go away. It was exactly 1 year today that I stood here and talked about the presence of God and God's determination to be present amongst people. And at the end, at some point, I know I said, I believe God is going to release the prophetic in and through this church. And I believe it happened on Sunday, the 3rd of January. And what I want to say to every person who is prophetic, for goodness sake, prophesy. Because that is the Spirit. And we need the Spirit. Word and Spirit. Word and Spirit. We need the truth. We need our feet on the ground and balanced. But we also need the power of the Holy Spirit, which is something you can't grab hold of. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the Spirit gives life. The letter gives death. Let's be people of the Spirit and of the Word. And let's recognize also that God wants to revive us. So if this morning you're feeling a bit dead, a bit corpse-like, that you feel a bit like a couple of bones joined together, not belonging, then God has a promise for you. I can revive you. I can do it. And I will pour my Spirit on dry ground. Are you thirsty? I know I am. I'm thirsty, and I want to see God at work.